this evening, live from Studio 76 in Valrico, Florida, Derek Old School Fournier.
So I give zero f-
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. I am Derek Old School Fournier, and as my man, Mr. Merkin, said, I am coming to you live from Studio 76 here in Valrico, Florida. Welcome to the show. This is What the Buck. We're going to be talking a little bit about Bucks football and probably talking a little bit of smack back and forth to one another because it is off season. In fact, when one of the hardest working men in media, Mark Cook, takes a vacation, you know that there's a break. Now, we have actually one of his colleagues, Eric Delorado, I believe, in the chat room tonight, too, from Pewter Report. Those guys are constantly putting in work. We're going to talk a little bit about their latest articles, and I think at least one of them that I read today was by Eric about training camp questions. When Mark calls in at about 9:30, we'll talk about those things. We'll also be talking about some of the joint activities we have going on with Pewter Report, because Spent, who, as I understand it from Tracy, will be a little bit late tonight, has put together our first rough draft of our calendar, and good Lord in heaven, it is a significant amount of work that we're going to be putting in this year, guys. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's kind of the neat thing about what we get to do as a sort of crazy band of Bucks fans that get together and do nice things in the community and have a good time and enjoy watching the Bucks. So we looked at the calendar. We're doing all sorts of exciting things. We're going to get a lot of excuses for everyone to get together and have some fun. We got a couple of announcements we'll start out with tonight. We'll talk a little bit about some of the conjecture coming into training camp. My man Patches put together another great article. And we published that just before the show tonight. Carrie got the edits done and published that. That's up on the website at whatthebuck.net. I'm sure when Spent gets in here, she'll drop the URL if Kurt or someone doesn't do that in the meantime, but between now and then, where he starts to evaluate our competition in this division. Now, when you look at the schedules, that's always a really important thing because you figure it's going to take up a significant amount of your schedule and your record anyway. They're the people we know the most about, and they're usually the people that we like the least. And so he went after the Falcons this week and did a great job as usual. I want to thank Patches for the work he's doing. And we will look forward to continuing that work as we go throughout the season. So if you have not read that article, please get out there and do that. I will also be going and trying to enable the comments. We upgraded our site. We had some problems before. We've migrated to a new server. We've also enabled Jetpack and a number of other features of WordPress that make some of this cross-posting a little bit easier. I implored you guys last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, because last week we didn't do a show. I implored you guys to share our content out there and make sure that you're liking it in social media and interacting with it in social media because that gets it into people's news feeds. There were a couple of other little pieces and parts to that. One of them is getting the comments enabled in the articles, and I will work on getting that, and I'll send out a note. The other one was our mailing list. Our mailing list subscription is in the bottom right on the homepage. There's a couple of other places I've posted it. It exists on our What the Buck Facebook page as well. If you're not on our mailing list, please do go add yourself. That is the best way and the guaranteed way where we can communicate. So when we're having an event or a party or something like that, that's the way we will use to get in touch with you because, to be honest, we most certainly cannot just trust people to pay attention to Twitter. And with Facebook's algorithms, we cannot trust them to see it on Facebook. So sort of as a homework assignment, if you guys don't mind, whether it's the folks here in the chat room or whether it's our folks who listen to the podcast around the world, if you could go to whatthebuck.net in the bottom right-hand side and add your email address to our mailing list, it would be greatly appreciated. We have another way to get on the mailing list we're going to test this week. It's a text to join feature. We're going to be looking at some text features with regards to using raffles and things like that throughout the season. So we may need some of you guys to be guinea pigs as well. Think about some other announcements. Oh, yeah. We do have one sort of significant announcement. I was going to wait till Spent got here, but I think she already knows because I spoke to her. Many of you know that our home last year, sort of our home bar, was Wing House Tampa. We got very comfortable over there. Aaron was the manager who brought us in. We worked with Mikel. We worked with Sean. We worked with the whole crew over there. And those crews move around. Aaron's now over at 301, way closer to me, and yet, sadly, I see him less often because I don't go over there in the offseason as much as I do in the regular season. Mikel's got her own store over at Palm Harbor. We miss her. But a lot of our girls are still there. We still go over there from time to time, and definitely we wanted to make sure that when we found our home bar and our primary platinum sponsor, we were hoping the Wing House was going to be able to step up and be that sponsor. I am here to announce that has happened. Wing House is, in fact, back on this year as our primary sponsor, our home bar. We will be having even more involvement from Wing House in our events, so we get to look forward to all the girls coming out to the tailgates. And I'm still waiting on the confirmation on the discount, but there will be a What the Buck discount as well. For those of you who know what that was last year, if you went to our Wing House store on Hillsborough Avenue and said you were with What the Buck, you received a 10% discount. I believe they're going to be upping that to 15% this year, which is tremendous. So big thanks to Sean and Melanie and the team over at Wing House. for believing in us and seeing what we did last year and continuing that fine partnership. That is going to be the spot as we go back and forth with the Pewter Report What the Buck podcast, which is another thing that's new this year. We talked about it. I'm sure Mark and I will talk about it a little bit when he gets on the air as well. We're going to be alternating our live locations for that. And I know that one of the thoughts was at Keel and Curley over here, where the Pewter Report pre-training camp kickoff event is going to be on the 19th, which I wanted to also remind you guys to make sure you RSVP for, because there's only going to be 100 seats, we believe, to that. I'm not sure if we have a late discount. I'll ask Mark when he gets online. But for the monthly podcasts, and the first one will be a month after July, so it'll be in August. I've got the date here somewhere because I am date challenged. It's almost a debilitating injury for me. I know I wrote this shit down somewhere, though. Oh, goodness gracious. August 15th. August 15th will be the first, what on social media, and I don't know if it was Bucks Princess or who it was who got that going, but there's a trend for What the Pewter. I don't know if that's going to stick or not, but that joint podcast will be the first one at Wing House in Tampa, and it will be August 15th. So we'll get the actual start time for that and let you guys know all the logistics of that as we get closer to it. Now, with regards to the Wing House announcement, there's another piece of this. And there's a lot of dominoes that go into this process, of course. Richard Zell says the event last year was awesome. The Pewter Report event last year apparently was awesome, which is good. And Patches likes What the Pewter in the chat room. Last year, you may remember, we threw a little soiree. We obviously love the Bucks. That's why we all do this stuff. But we felt as though the Bucks weren't maybe doing enough to get the Bucks fans together. There wasn't enough of a sort of a critical mass of Bucks fans with regards to parties and kickoff events and that sort of thing. So actually, and I've got to give credit where credit's due, Matt Bucknuts and Cheryl spent thought about having a kickoff party, and then they employed the use of all of our team, and it grew, and everyone contributed. But I believe that the genesis was on those two. But, you know, from Roman to Crazy to Kurt to Aaron, to Christine, to Jen Algieri. I mean, we had this huge staff, which are the backbone of what we do at What the Buck, come together, and that little party turned into a huge party. And if you were not there last year, you were probably in the minority. We had estimates of 1,200 to 1,500 people come through there. Mark Dominic showed up, and it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So, because of the way we are, we have to always try and do more, better, faster, smarter, $6 million man kind of shit. We knew that we needed to make sure we had a home for it. We have our home back. We are at Wing House. So I am here to announce we are, in fact, going to have our second annual Buccaneers kickoff party. It will be at our Tampa Bay Wing House on Hillsborough Avenue. The date is, in fact, set. The date is August 9th. We will be rolling out all the information about this party, but go ahead and mark it in your calendar. August 9th, we will have our second annual party, and we have a theme. And the theme for the party this year is Back to the Future. And if you don't understand that theme, then you're not quite as smart as I thought you were for listening to the show. But think about the concept of Lovie Smith coming back. Think about the idea of going back and winning another Super Bowl. There are going to be a lot of surprises around this theme, guys. This party, we are going to try and make it make last year's party look like the unpopular kid's birthday party at the skating rink. So it is going to be phenomenal. And it's going to be phenomenal because of the people who make it happen. And I name these people off. I probably should go through and rattle off every one of the names. In fact, I'm going to do that, guys. You have to bear with me. So before anyone bitches about, hey, are we going to talk about football? Yes, we're going to talk about football. Shut up. But the events that we do would not be possible without the members of our crew. And we have a couple different layers of crew, guys. So if I don't name your name in this list, that does not mean you're not crew. But we have a group that is sort of, if you don't do what you say you're going to do, you're in deep shit because we hold each other accountable. Then we have another tier of people that maybe can't spend that much time or whatever, but they always do an amazing amount of work. And that's how this stuff gets done. But you guys know Cheryl, you know Bat, you know Rick, the commissioner of Cornhole, has joined that crew as well. He owns the Cornhole piece, and he makes that thing really official. Jackie, Daryl Hahn, Tracy Claiborne, Scott, you know Captain Reno, I don't even tell you who the hell that is, Eliza, Kurt, Jen, Crystal, Ryan, Crazy, and Brian Connolly. This inner sanctum is amazing. Now, you also hear me talk about Christine and Aaron. You hear me talk about these other people that are right in that same kind of group. We all work together to make these things happen, and I know, having spoken to these guys, that these are going to be absolutely astonishing. Richard Zeller wants to know if we're going to have horses in the parking lot again. I cannot vouch for whether or not we're going to have horses. But there may be horsepower in the parking lot. he said, giving a hint. So, anyway, very exciting announcements. I don't know if you guys can tell that I'm excited. This was the first domino that needed to fall. The rest of the domino should fall. For those of you who have asked about sponsorships, that sponsorship packages and final edit, that will go out this weekend to anyone who's asked for it with our sponsorship pieces. And we're going to start trying to roll those guys in. We'll make announcements and we'll get this stuff up on the show. Got that. I always, you know, I haven't been doing this, but I need to. I want to send a shout out to Sandra P over at Bucks Nation. Pewter Plank hasn't been as active lately, but I like still watch what Leo says. Obviously, Pewter Report, the relationship's got with them, and Joe Bucks Fan continues to do the things that they do. In this offseason, it has been a challenge. What I've noticed is, hold on, let me make sure I got the other stuff that I covered here. I talked about Patch's article, which is good. Make sure you download that and spread it. Ask you to spread the word. Mailing list, talked about the Pewter Report pre-training camp event. Keelan Curley on the 19th, 6 o'clock in RSVP, talked about the podcast. Okay, good. What I've noticed is, in this offseason, it's been an interesting sort of, duality, contrast. Duality is not the word I want, and contrast doesn't seem to fit either. My chat just scrolled, and Kurt had a really good point in there as well. For this event, for the kickoff event, for the Back to the Future party, right? The parking lot filled up, guys. I mean, we literally blew out the parking lot at Wing House. We are going to try and do some negotiation with some of the local businesses. We don't know if we're going to be able to have a shuttle, but we want to be prepared for that same kind of outpouring. So, as is being mentioned in there, get there early, get a spot, right? The other thing to remember is if you come there and you post up and you grab a table, take care of your girls. These girls work their asses off for you. I was actually watching World Cup, which I know a lot of you guys talk shit about soccer, but World Cup, America, damn it. I went to the local Wing House and was sitting there with some friends watching the World Cup, and I was making the comment that people don't understand the concept of paying rent. If you're going to be at an event and you're not going to order constantly food, you need to make sure you take care of your waitress. But most of our people actually understand that. Now, Kurt just made the comment, don't be a sap. That story is getting uglier and uglier, isn't it? If you didn't read the story, allegedly, Warren Sapp and some friends went into an establishment, ordered some food, and didn't tip. The allegation was that the waitress was calling them boys. Sapp didn't like that. The original story was that they sat and watched the World Cup game, but the receipt showed that they left before the World Cup game. I don't know. I mean, I don't think anyone argues that Sapp is a super nice guy. I mean, I've seen him do nice things, but it doesn't really matter. But yeah, I don't really care. But it became story because of exactly what I was talking about before I went on this little diatribe. In the offseason, there's not a whole lot to talk about. Right now, we're fortunate that we're not one of the teams who's losing a linebacker to a torn ACL. That seems to be spreading the same way measles is because people don't vaccinate kids anymore like fucking idiots. It's scary to think of how quickly your season can turn around based on an injury. Speaking of being fucked, the Jimmy Graham situation is going to blow up, guys, right? The Jimmy Graham situation is going to blow up. This guy, because of what was on his Twitter profile, not really, there's all sorts of other, you know, reasons for it, being that that's the title that he was signed to, et cetera. The franchise tag situation is something that they're going to have to address because now you got guys changing their Twitter handle. You got people looking at the number of plays they take, snaps they play as a traditional tight end. You got guys that are cast as safeties that really play more corner or corner that really play more safety. It is really, really going to be interesting from a sort of academic perspective. Not so much from an on-the-field perspective, obviously. But it is going to be a challenge to see how this whole thing shakes out. Now, as I transition off of that and the sort of dearth of real information in the offseason that I know Eric, who's in the chat room, has to deal with because they've got to put out good content. And so fortunately, they're on site. They can see the players and that sort of thing. What I saw anyway, Kurt, and I haven't gone to do the research. I had been following it sort of tangentially, was that the league essentially sided with the Saints and that he's a tight end. And so if they're going to tag him, they pay him based on the pay rates of tight ends and not of receivers, which is what he wanted. So that sucks for him since he lines up most of the time as a receiver and not a tight end. But doesn't affect my pay, which is good because I'm getting paid a lot to do this podcast, he said sarcastically. I'm getting paid exactly what it's worth, some would say. But what I saw was this Fox article, and a couple people picked this up, and it was sort of the worst to first. Now, I went to try and find out what the backdrop was. Thanks for dropping that in the chat room, Kurt. I went to try and find out what the backdrop was on this Worst of First. I remember Worst of First became very popular in our 1979 season when our team had gone from the bottom of the division and then ended up winning and then going one game from the Super Bowl. It was very, very exciting. I don't understand the role of the tagline Worst of First unless it implies going from the worst team in the league to the best team in the league. And that's what I think a lot of people have taken from that title. And Eric actually in the chat room may know differently, or Fish may know from Bucks Brief in the chat room as well. But number 32 did not seem to be like the catbird seat. It did not seem like where you want it to be. So I went and said, okay, well, let's take a listen to what these guys have to say. And it was Urlacher, a couple of other guys on there from Fox Sports. And they proceeded the entire time to talk about how damn good the Buccaneers were going to be. It was, I don't know that there was one single negative piece of information other than there was some question about the guard position here in Tampa, which, by the way, everyone and their brother understands is a question, right? But they talked about, you know, losing the carnival-type atmosphere, having a guy like Lovie come in and bring stability and let the players be professionals and be adults and really thrive in the system. You guys have had to have seen the quotes from Brian Urlacher on Levante David, where he essentially says he's athletically the best to ever play that spot, which is a pretty damn hefty amount of praise given who Urlacher played with and around and who was a contemporary of. And then they start talking about Gerald McCoy and how tremendous he's going to be. So it was very interesting to me that the Bucs wound up in 32. Now, next to that, if you go to the Fox News page, there's the experts pick, which was the Bucs at 32, and then the fans pick was the Jaguars. Now, again, if I am to assume that the list is about worst being bad, then the Jaguars make sense there to me. But the Bucs do not. So it's very confusing. Thank you, Shuck, for clarifying for Adam on the ad block. If you are tuned in live to the Ustream, I will do a bit of a public service announcement. We don't pay for the Ustream because this is because none of us pay for shit. That's why. So there are ways around those ads, and they've all discussed in the chat room. If you're screwed and you can't do it because it's your work computer, sorry about that. But if you use certain browsers, the ad blocks will work. If not, I apologize. But they're going to be there because I'm not going to pay Ustream the exorbitant fees they want to take those things away. So that's the scoop on the ads. If you listen to the podcast, there are no ads because we record that live, which I think. And hey, Fish, you know, I hopefully answered your questions you sent to me. I think you may be doing some interesting things on technology. I'd love to hear how those things work out for you. It'd be great. And love to get more people doing this stuff real time in this market. Now, the obvious area of talk was around defense. Urlacher was talking a lot about, but then they spent a lot of time on offense. And what's interesting in the offseason is, I know you don't blame me, Adam. I was just making sure you knew. In the offseason, we did acquire a lot of talent. The offensive side of the ball looks very interesting. And I mentioned to you guys in passing that I should have had him stay here tonight too. My good friend Ronnie Gent played with McCown when he was in the UFL, and I could have gotten some very good information about Josh. But so far, no one we've spoken to, heard from, read about, or whatever, has anything but good things to say. On PewterReport.com's page today, there was an article about Larry Fitzgerald talking about the improvements in Tampa Bay. Now, he specifically called out McCown based on the quarterbacks he'd played with in the past and what he did from a teammate perspective, et cetera. And the other side of it was that he called out Jonathan Banks, a name I don't know that we've mentioned once in the offseason. And Urlacher and crew on the Fox News article talked about the secondary and how they're underrated. And I actually can't remember who it was who called out Barron and Goldson as a pro. But it's intriguing to me because the safety position has been looked at from the outside as a liability. Goldson gets too many penalties. He gets, you know, it blows coverages too often. Barron, same situation. I don't know how much of that was schematic and how much of it was athletic. They seem to be athletically very special players. I remember Barron's rookie season, him really having some pop plays where he was making plays on the ball that were impressive. We shall see how that whole thing sort of pans out. But the secondary here, you know, we talk about Aldron Werner coming over, but Jonathan Banks is someone who we just have not spoken that much about. Hell, there's more talk about Leonard Johnson in the battle at the nickel cornerback than there is discussion of Jonathan Banks, who is sort of this, you know, really strong guy coming out of college, and it's one of the things we thought we were going to do. Now, Shadowhawk brings up a good point about McCoy. And I don't know why Shadowhawk brought it up. I want to read a little bit of the chat transcript to see what McCoy said, because I wasn't actually mentioning McCoy as a source here. But he brings up a point we made last year. During the Shiano regime, Gerald McCoy towed the party line. And this is something we've spoken about with regards to players. Players are in a tough spot, guys. These are their employers, right? Your team leaders have to lead. Some of them are vocal. Gerald's always been vocal. Rondé was never vocal. And people tried to make him vocal, and he just sort of said, you know, fuck you, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I do, which you had to sort of respect, even though it was annoying. But when guys are asked questions, they can only answer questions in a way that protects them, you know? And I can't get too salty about Gerald McCoy doing that. I just can't. I want to, because I really want a player to come out and say this is bullshit. Like when Darrell Revis early in the season was talking about how he was being used. And it of course, became a lightning rod, and everyone jumped on it, and then he had to back off of it, et cetera. McCoy said he was happy with the QB. Shadowhawk, I did not mean to say McCoy. I was talking about an article on pewterreport.com where Larry Fitzgerald from the Cardinals was speaking highly of Josh McCown. It was not McCoy. Though McCoy has been flattering with regards to Josh McCown, that wasn't what I was referring to. But it did bring up an opportunity for us to talk about when you're getting those interviews and you know, when Mark's on here in a few minutes, we'll ask him how they balance that sort of thing. Because you ask players questions, and they really have a limited amount of answers they can give. Because you guys know, it's an odd duality for me, because I always want to hear the truth. Right, I always want to, because that's sort of how I try and run stuff. The tricky bit is, when we had Bruce Allen, my comment was, and it still is, that their job is to make the team better and not to tell us the truth. They have no obligation, moral, ethical, legal, or otherwise, to come out and give us any information, especially information that would undermine us. Now, Buck for Life in the chat room brings up the point that you should never publicly criticize your coach or your teammates, and that's absolutely true. But you can certainly just not respond, I suspect. Now, Eric Delarada in the chat room talks about one of the reasons we may not have heard or talked about Banks much was because of an injury that slowed him for most of spring practices. And we did hear a lot of the people that Eric's mentioned, Gore and Melvin and some other guys. It will be very interesting to see how these guys perform, both in training camp, when they're actually in pads and can actually have some contact, but when we get a chance to see them against Jacksonville, we see them in preseason, how are they going to adapt to this system? This system is, and one of the notes I want to talk about tonight is one of the differences. What you want as a coach is you want players to react and not think. And that sounds stupid and counterintuitive and all those other things, but it's not. What you need players to be, whether they be on offense or defense or special teams, you need them to understand your scheme so well that they simply can react based on the rule set that they operate in their position on, right? That's the trick. And when you hear about rookies thinking too much, that's what they're talking about. The rookie is trying to ingest that playbook and understand, okay, here's my responsibilities in these 10 scenarios. And what that does is it slows down all their reactions. All the amazing natural gifts that they have that make them so special, that get them to this level of the game, are negated because they spend those times sitting there thinking instead of doing. So this system is, from my understanding of it, outside looking in, obviously I'm not in the players' room to go through these things. I sure as hell don't know anything about the offense, but the idea would be to make the system simple. That doesn't mean that you're dumbing down a system. It means you're taking out unnecessary complexity sometimes, right? But we know that the defense that Lovie Smith likes to run is one of speed and violence. And Brian Urlacher in that interview called McCoy a crackhead, and that wasn't some sort of a deprecating comment. He's supposed to find a crack in that line and then go bust heads through it. You heard Warren Sapp back in the day talking about our defense was you'd grab the runner of the football, the running back, on the way to the quarterback. Every play is a pass play. So your front four gets upfield. And I think it may have been Donovan on the interview talking about that pressure it puts on your linebackers. Because if your front four is getting upfield that fast, your linebackers have got to cover a lot of ground. Now, in the chat room, there's a discussion about redoing trades. Kurt McDonald opened up, could you do a do-over on the Revis trade? What would you do? Bucks Brie Fish is jumping in about Sheldon Richardson with that trade. And Kurt, of course, wins the contest by saying he's still bitter that we took Ricky Bell over Tony Dorsett. Which is, you know. Yeah, hindsight on trades is always a bitch. You know, it is absolutely always a bitch. And, you know, Adam Ratliff mentions Gaines Adams over over Adrian Peterson. And the Adrian Peterson one's fun to me because when that draft happened, I know a lot of people, including myself, who thought Adrian Peterson was made of tissue paper. He was an amazing athlete, but he wouldn't be able to hold up. And all that son of a bitch has done has proved me wrong and point out painfully why I'm a hack who does this in my my bar instead of on a radio show or something, because he's been nothing but amazing. Now, devaluing the running back position was a hot topic for a while because of the comments coming out of the camp about Doug Martin, the money that guys are getting, the moving around in the league, these sorts of things. And one of the things that we're going to talk about with Mark in a few minutes is the running back depth position, how running backs are used in this iteration of the NFL. And I am, maybe it's, I'm just stubborn. I mean, I had my cards read the other night in a bar, he said, knowing he'll be made fun of forever. But it is true. I was at one of my favorite local watering holes, the Talking Pint, owned by my friend Matt, who is recovering from a quick stay in the hospital. I'm sure he's going to be great. Great spot over in Riverview. They are not a sponsor, but I love them anyway, and it's a great place to have a beer from time to time. And there was a young lady in there reading tarot cards, and I had just enough beer where that made sense. And she said, "Holy shit, you're stubborn. You're wicked smart, but you're stubborn." And I said, "Okay. You're obviously in touch with the other side. You have a vision that is amazing." But I am not one of those guys that wants to see running back shuttling in and out of the fucking game. I got to have my running back get his mojo. I don't want him constantly going in and out. I want him to see trends and tendencies. Now, you have to have some depth, certainly. But I don't think you have to be shuttling people on and around. So, but that's just me. Again, I am notoriously old. When Ronnie and I talk about coaching, he's a huge spread guy. I am a huge not spread guy. But I'm usually based on the talent that we have. But at the end of the day, given my option, if I didn't have to adjust what I would like to do because of talent or opposition, I am going to run the ball out of an I formation, and we're going to run the ball for 4 yards every carry until you stop us. I was having a conversation the other day with a couple of coaches, and one of the things that I was talking about was what you don't see enough of is there are really great offensive coordinators that if you don't stop a play, you don't see play number two. You just never see it in the playbook. Listen, if you can't stop our Power O, you don't ever get to see anything past that, as he says, Power O, in deference to Steve White, who's not able to join us anymore because he's doing bigger, better things. But damn it, that is what it's all about. We don't need this guru bullshit. Now, that's not to say we're going to have it. We don't know what Coach Tefford's going to be like. I know I'm excited thinking it up. Buck for Life makes a comment about that's one of the reasons he thinks that Blunt had a problem. And I don't disagree, right? I think LeGarrette Blunt is a talented runner of the football. Do I think he is Adrian Peterson? No. No one ever said he was. But I think there are backs, especially backs like that, who have got to grind their way through a defense. I don't watch enough Marshawn Lynch to really make that sort of an assessment, but my sort of external view of Marshawn Lynch is that he is a similar back in that regard. So, It's interesting, and you never know. You catch lightning in a bottle one year, and then you can't do shit the next year, but that didn't seem to be the case. These guys have the ability. It's about them being able to use the ability. But at any rate, the what will the offense actually look like, I think, is going to be one of the most exciting things for me as a fan to see what's going to happen. There's a lot of discussion about our receiving core. That was one of the discussions on the Fox News article that everyone's talking about. We've all talked about how tall they were. Now, we've had tall receivers before. What the hell was that? Kurt will know this. Golden Goose. Shit. Ended up going and playing in the Arena League. He was a lacrosse guy or something. I can't remember his name. But we had a bunch of 6'5 or better receivers. Hey, that's Mark calling in now, and I'll address this Blunt conversation in a second, too. Is this the ginger badass?
You guys are glutton for punishment to do a show this time of year. Really? What in the world are we going to talk about?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I'm going to adjust your audio so people can actually hear you.
Obviously, I haven't been listening to the show. You probably got amazing topics that I have no idea what you're talking about. But
well, I am used to you being unprepared, Mark, so I'm fine with that. That
oh,
doesn't
good. island vacation mentality. I'm still recovering.
Thank you very much for the Chaz Gessner comment, Jackie Williams. I could not remember his name, and I called him the Golden Goose. I don't know if that was actually his nickname. Yeah, I just turned him up. We'll see if that's loud enough. If it's not, I can crank his levels again. I actually made the comment earlier, Mark, that it's you know that the off season has happened when Mark Cook takes a vacation.
Yes, you're right. That's true. A Pew Report's generous with our vacation packages. The only problem is trying to find time to squeeze it in. So I've got some vacation time stacked up for sure. Unfortunately, I don't think I get paid for it if they fire me, so I need to try and take a few more days before training camp.
Well, we will see what can be done about that by making you unnecessary. Guys who are complaining about the volume, I don't know if you're on a different phone or not, Mark. You definitely sound lower tonight. I'm trying to adjust you as much as I can.
Hello, hello, hello.
I think if you could just speak up a little bit, use your big voice, I think we'll probably be okay.
Okay, I'll use my big voice.
Nice. Anyway, guys, we're going to do what we can. Hopefully you guys will be able to hear. A couple questions for you. I was out there looking at some of the articles, and you guys did a nice little series on training camp questions. You wrote a couple of them. I know Eric Delorado, who's over in our chat room right now, wrote at least one that I read. After doing that series, I know we've talked about the guard position, and that was one of the discussion points. What was your biggest surprise having, because you guys had to, I guess, look back on what you saw from what you were able to witness at training camp to write that article with any sort of perspective. What was your biggest surprise having done that?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess the biggest surprise, and I think we've talked about this before, is the guard situation, which, as I mentioned on your show, they're not as concerned maybe as the writers are or some of the fans are about the guard position. Now, I don't know if that means that they feel there's a chance Carl Nix comes back, or maybe they feel that, hey, the ball's going to be out of McCown's hand before a weakness in the line creates issues. Or they feel that Jamon Meredith and Patrick Amame or O'Neal Cousins are the answers. I don't know. I mean, and that's still, to me, one of the biggest questions and something that I think is still really unresolved. And if I'm a Buccaneer fan going to training camp, I'm trying to find the one-on-one offensive line, defensive line battles. I think that'll be very important. It's really hard to watch guard play in 11-on-11 from the perspective at training camp. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. It's really hard to tell what they're doing because although they are blocking, they're not, you know, it's not the same as obviously during a game. But to me, the funnest part of training camp is watching those one-on-one battles with offensive linemen and defensive linemen. And it's a pass-blocking drill. It doesn't, you know, show anything about the run-blocking abilities of these players. But to me, it really kind of shows the tenacity, a little bit of an attitude that a player has, if they've got a chip on their shoulder, a little bit of an edge. And to me, it's the funnest thing during the day at all of these training camps is when those get together. And if I'm a fan, I'm trying to get in a position where I can watch those one-on-one battles. And even Lovie Smith said it during one of his press conferences this offseason. You know, he looks forward to those one-on-ones with the offensive lineman and defensive lineman. And I think that's going to tell him and the rest of the staff, you know, who's up for the challenge or if they are up for the challenge. And if they need to go out, look for some guys getting cut, maybe potentially looking at some trade situations. They'll know a lot more when the pads go on. But the guard situation, still kind of a surprise because, to me, it's still really an unsettled position. But maybe they're happy with it. Maybe they know, obviously they know more than we do from a football perspective. But, maybe they've got something up their sleeve that we don't really understand at this point.
Well, and you bring up a good point, Mark. Now, you're being berated for the use of the word funnest twice. Since
I know. I did that. I was going to do. I was going to say most funnest, but I decided not to do that.
The mostest funnest? Yeah.
The mostest funnest.
Yeah, exactly. It's from the Book of Betterer English.
Yes.
But you know that I've always been a fan of those one-on-one drills, usually down in the far corner. You go down there, you watch these guys kind of hammer these things out, whether it's the pass drills or what the scenarios are, because you do get to see some of that ugliness. And if you're not familiar with offensive line play, they're the dirtiest bastards on the field.
Yep.
I don't care if they're choir boys on Sunday. During the game, they're trying to hurt people, right? That's what they do. Yeah. In the pile, it gets ugly. And so what you want, whether tackles are kind of fun because tackles are the guys that end up looking like punks, right, if they get beat around the edge.
Yeah.
So watching them drive guys into the ground and get a chance to take some back out on them. But the guard play for us, like you said, is going to be interesting. And we've got to see that against live fire because even though in training camp when we do have padded practices, it's going to be the defensive guys trying to make a splash. They're still teammates at the end of the day.
Right.
It's not the same. We got to see because we saw a lot of really guys that looked really good on paper and looked really good going through sleds and looked really good on the drills get their asses really handed to them 16 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So one thing that became completely clear was that that was not sufficient. So we've got to see what's going to happen. And that is really, if you listen, and we talked about that Fox article that you wrote something about. I mean, everyone's written something about it because it's one of the few pieces of news. And it's a piece of news because, and Mark, do you know what the hell the title means, worst to first? Because it seems to imply that they think we're the worst in football.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're saying. And the thing, and I wrote it in the article, was, you know, strangely, though, they sit around for 7 minutes and 12 seconds and do nothing but heap praise on the entire unit. So I don't know that those particular guys on the panel, and we've got the story up, and there's a video link, too, if they want to see it. To NFL Network, to Fox Sports. But, you know, I don't know if they did the voting or who did the voting, or maybe they're basing it on last year. I don't know what the criteria was. I don't know who did the votes. But, yeah, I mean, that's what they're implying right now. I called it an early power ranking, you know, type deal list. And right now, whoever typed up that list has decided that the Buccaneers, in their opinion, are the 32nd ranked team in the NFL, which I just find absurd. I'm certainly not saying they're a top 10 team, but to say that they're worse than the Raiders, even Jacksonville, I mean, you can look at Cleveland. You know, there's a handful of other teams that really struggled last year that I don't know have made the improvements. Now, if this was the exact same staff, if this was the exact same personnel on the field, and Mike Glennon was your quarterback, and you know, they're still throwing to Sky Dawson, you could make that argument that they're the worst team in the league. But I mean, maybe I'm a little biased because I'm around them all the time, but I would not in a million years peg them as the worst team in the league right now.
It's interesting because it's given us all something to jump on. And in the chat room, Brian just said that he saw Jay Glazer said nothing to do with the ranking. So I'm guessing that we're not the only ones going, the fuck? Right? What happened to this thing? So, and another, you know, Kurt McDonald, the man who cost you a $70 shirt.
That's $73.
Oh, my bad, $73. That probably took one of your vacation days away, too, by the way, extra $3.14. Exactly. He's saying, how can you do power rankings when there hasn't been a ball snapped? But as our representative of legitimate journalism on the show, don't you guys have to do a lot of this conjecture because that's what people actually request, right? Whether it's power rankings or projected, you know, results. Oh, the team's going to be 7-9. How much of that do you guys feel like you have to do? You're compelled to do because your readers sort of demand it.
Well, I mean, it was really the last thing I wanted to write this morning, but there's just a lack of news right now, and we've analyzed positions and we've talked about the coaching staff, and Scott's interviewed Shelton Quarles and Hardy Nickerson in exclusive interviews, and you know, I've dug through all my tape recorders to find little snippets of quotes from players, and it's just tough right now. So, look, thank you, Fox Sports, for giving me a topic today. I have no idea what tomorrow will bring, but we'll try and find something to write about tomorrow. And as Scott and I said, look, at least we're not writing, you know, Jeremy Stevens being pulled over with a public sack full of weed in his car, or Aqib Talib shooting at his brother or sister's boyfriend or something. So, you know, no news sometimes is good news, but at the same time, those are the kind of pieces. And look, we wrote a piece back in January that people jumped all over, and it was strictly, as you said, a speculative type piece. You know, Scott just did a story and then did an early season forecast. Obviously, we have no idea. Well, this was before free agency. This was before the draft. This is before the first preseason game. It means nothing, but it's something to talk about. And it was based strictly on where the team was at the time in January. And Scott came up with a prediction, I think an 8-8 prediction. And, you know, we got hammered by a few people and some of our competitors, who love to take shots at us all the time. And that's fine. But, I mean, that is part of what you do during this part. And this is certainly easily the slowest time of the year. Now, Scott and I have a couple things planned that we're going to run between now and training camp. A couple, you know, kind of series. I don't know. He might get mad if I say it, but, you know, hey, nobody's listening but me and you and Kurt and in Australia, so I can say it. But
yep, we're the Wayne's World of Buccaneers podcasts.
You know, we've got a list of our top 25 Bucks of all time that we've ranked, you know, from day one to today. We've also kind of drafted our own fantasy football teams where we selected our what we feel are the best players at a specific position. And we did it in a fantasy football draft type thing where, you know, I got first pick. I could go any position I wanted and so on and so forth. And we did it until we had an offense, a defense, a kick returner, and a kicker and a punter. So those are some things that we'll be debuting. And it's fun. Listen, it's not, you know, earth-shattering news or anything like that. But I think it gives the fans something to whet their appetite just a little bit during this extremely slow time. So slow, in fact, that the offices at One Buccaneer Place are basically shut down until after the 4th of July.
Well, and, you know, you got to pace yourself. During the season, everyone, you know, not just the team and the front office, but you guys get run ragged. Hell, we get run ragged, and we're on the outer, you know, fringes of that stuff. So there's got to be some time where these guys get to catch their breath, see their family, pet their dog,
yep,
right, and then come back in for what is a grueling, grueling year. That said, and our listeners, you know, get their feedback, and, you know, we got Fish out there and other people, and you can say this too. You can't make everyone happy. For every person who hates the conjecture, and I'm in that camp, I can't stand it, it pisses me off, there are 10 others who love it. And for every person who loves when I start doing drawings on diagrams and taking snapshots of the plays, there's 10 people who think, oh, Jesus Christ, he's not going to do the Telestrator shit again, is he? You know, so you can't make everyone happy. It's a challenge, and that's why we try and do some of these fun things. And so for the listeners, for your readers, give us that kind of feedback. The stuff that you guys like, the stuff that you guys don't like, you know, let us know. And again, Juicy in the chat room, who I'm quite certain is a guy, which is going to disturb me because it's got a big X in the middle and I want to think it's a girl, but we only have like 6 female listeners. Yes, petting dogs is important, especially heavy petting. Wait, no, that's not what I meant to say. Anyway, so I'm glad you got some good things coming up. Mark, since you weren't listening to the show, you were go back and looking at your pictures of vacation and all of the fish you didn't catch.
Yeah, I'm still depressed. I'm still in that mode right now.
It's not my fault you're a bad fisherman. It's also not my fault that you had to come back from vacation, but you did look like you had a great time. Some terrific sunrise and sunset pictures, which, as you know, I am a sucker for.
Yep.
We had a couple of announcements. We reminded people about your Keel and Curly event. Do you have an updated count? Are you guys full yet? Can people still RSVP? What's going on?
No, there's a handful of spots left. I certainly would recommend people doing that as soon as they can. That's happening on July 19th at Keel and Curly Winery, just off I-4 near Plant City. Tim Wright, our special guest, will be there. We've also got some pretty cool door prizes and stuff we'll give away. We've got some autograph pictures that we will give away to people who attend, not everybody. But I think everybody's getting a Pewter Report T-shirt.
Not Kurt McDonald. Fuck him.
Everybody but him. And Gurr over in Scotland or England or wherever he is.
Scotland, England's the same thing. Hashtag America.
Exactly. But you know, we've got some neat things in store. You know, Tim will be there. He can take pictures with him, sign autographs. You know, we were actually cleaning out one of our old storage lockers and found some pretty neat pieces of memorabilia, some framed, blown-up Pewter Report covers, one with John Gruden from the Super Bowl win. I think we're going to give away one of those. I know we've got some Gerald McCoy, Levante David, Mason Foster, 8x10s, action photos from Cliff Welch, our photographer.
Nice.
We've got those autographed. Those will be part of the door prizes. And, we hope people come out and have a good time. And yeah, there are a few spots available. I would guess, you know, there's probably 20, 25 spots available. So, you know, it's basically 12 couples somewhere along those lines. But if you can make it, I think it'll be a good time. And, again, for people who say Plant City, that's so far away. You know, really from the casino or from I-4 and I-75, Keel and Curly's about 10 minutes away, especially on a Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Traffic's not going to be bad at all. And it's a really neat place. It's a great place to actually take your spouse to because we've got some specials on a wine tasting tour. $5, normally it's $10, but they're going to do $5 for Pewter Report members or people at our party. So, and some other things, some other drink specials. They'll have some food there, so it'll be a good time. And then, you know, and Scott and I'll be there if somebody has got any questions. We normally do a Q&A. Tim will talk to the crowd do a Q&A with the crowd, and Scott and I can chime in if anybody's got anything they want to talk about.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I was actually going to ask that question, but the chat room was too busy saying it's going to be funner than anything else going on.
It's going to be the most funner thing ever.
I remember the last time we did this, I think Josh was your guest, and Josh did sort of an open thing where he chatted, and then he took questions from the crowd, and then you guys answered questions. Same format, it's going to be sort of informal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. We haven't done anything at Keel and Curly yet. I'm not that familiar with the setup, but I think it's going to be very similar to that, where people can mingle, talk to Tim, and then we'll do, the Q&A and things like that. People can kind of do what they want to do, but, it's a good opportunity, I think, for Bucks fans to connect with each other, make new friends. I mean, that's the thing that I know that your organization has brought to the table. You guys have brought together like-minded fans who have created lifelong friendships and a bond and a brotherhood, a fraternity, whatever you want to call it. And we've got a lot of that on our Pewter Report with our message boards and things like that. And we got some that argue and fuss with each other, but that's part of it too. When you have two people in a room, eventually they're going to argue a little bit, and that's all right. We don't mind. But bottom line is, it's a great opportunity to meet some other people, some other fans, and we look forward to having your crew over there too. We always talk about it like it's these two separate things, two secret.
The Sharks and the Jets, man. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. And but we're all the same. I mean, our readers and your listeners and followers are all the same. They're just big Buck fans that want to see this team do well, and I want to report on a team that does well. I'm going on my fourth season, and it's been a long time since, going back to the 90s when I worked for the old Buccaneer magazine, that I've been able to report on a winning football team. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I think everyone is. The excitement level's high. And before you came on, that was the other thing I was going to do. We're going to touch back on the announcements at the that we made at the very beginning of the hour for the people who came in here a little bit later.
Were we not going to discuss the Warren Sapp stiffing the waitress on the tip deal? I didn't know if that was the topic.
We chatted about it briefly. I don't really care that much. So, I mean,
exactly.
him being an ass doesn't really shock anybody, so it's not really
right.
News. That's not like the Bucks being rated 32 in the league. That's news.
Yeah.
Warren Sapp being a dick, kind of not news. And he's
right.
Still my favorite player. I don't care. I'm not trying to go out and have drinks with him. And if we did have drinks, I would probably be the one who paid the bill, and
yes.
I would tip.
Yeah, you would need to make sure to do the tip. And in all fairness, look, Warren is Warren, and he's got a bad reputation. And this very well may be a case of Warren being Warren. But at the same time, we really don't know the full details. Maybe it was miserable service. I mean, I still, as a if I were in his shoes, a known person, a celebrity, whatever you want to call Warren, you certainly don't need bad publicity in that
nope.
situation. I think it was a poor decision regardless. But again, I mean, people are, I went back and read his Twitter timeline, and people were just ripping him anew, and particularly Raider fans. I didn't notice as many Buccaneer handle name people ripping him and calling him every word in the book, but Raider fans, they still don't like Warren
no.
Sapp a whole lot over in Oakland.
No, they don't give a shit about the one double-digit sack year.
Right.
They still think he robbed them. No, what we were talking about was actually some other announcements, and you'll be interested in this. Winghouse is officially back on as our home bar. They've signed up with us. We're back on for another year. That's really great. So for our Pewter Report / What the Buck podcast that some of our people have started calling What the Pewter. I'm not sure how much you guys are going to like that. I think it's funny. We'll have our home. We've got a date for that. I'll send you over the calendar, but the first date that is tentative – but I think we'll work, and based on the model that we set up, is going to be August 19th.
Okay.
So it'll be roughly a month after your event, actually exactly a month after your event,
right.
So people will have plenty of time to set up for it. But the other thing is, you guys remember that we threw a little party last year, a little kickoff party that turned into a big kickoff party. We are going to do our second annual kickoff party. It's going to be August 9th at Winghouse, and the theme is Back to the Future. And so we're going to be coming up with all sorts of thematic stuff to go with that, with the Lovie Smith return, with the hope to get back to the Super Bowl. We're going to try and get some special guests out there, and we definitely want the Pewter Report crew.
I can break out my floating skateboard. That's awesome.
If you have a floating skateboard, my son will want it because he's been trying to build a hoverboard for the last 3 months.
Okay, maybe I don't have one of those.
Damn it.
But I do have one of those foamy zip-up jacket things that don't have sleeves. Remember those from the 80s?
You wore that the last time we went to lunch.
Well, that was actually my Michael Jackson red belt. Mistake.
My bad. All right. So I definitely wanted to let people know that. I definitely wanted to remind people about the Keel and Curly event. We'll have that calendar. Cheryl's put it together, and we're going to get it into electronic format so people can actually see it. So that's all exciting stuff. The last question I had for you, Mark, before we let you go and look at your photographs of vacation and get one last day of vacation before you actually go do some work, we would love to hear, you got some of the most active message boards. You talk about them regularly. What's the chatter like? Because all of the news, I almost feel like I'm too excited, right? It's been all too positive.
Right.
And I know that every group's got the one guy who's a negative asshole, but every once in a while that guy's right. What's the chatter in the message boards over at Pewterport?
You know, I think generally it's as you said, it's very positive. I mean, there are a few Debbie Downers in the group, as there always are going to be. But I don't know that. Gosh, I mean, I think I've said it before on the show too. Going back to maybe that 03 season to really find an excitement level. I mean,
right.
You know, even during the Gruden years where they went 4-12 and then came back and won the division the next year, and then, you know, you just, I don't know, it wasn't a lot to be overly excited about. But here's the deal: there's been so much change, and from the front office completely revamped, coaching staff obviously, and just a ton of new players here. And add in the new uniforms. You know, it's just that air of excitement and that not knowing what to expect, but feeling positive for once, and I say for once in a long time anyway. I think that's the general mood of our message boards, from what I gather. Again, a few negatives, but they're few and far between. They really are. The one big thing: everybody's just ready for football.
Yeah.
They're tired of stories from Fox Sports 1. They're tired of Warren Sapp not paying his waitress. You know, they're tired of us writing another Josh McCown, can he duplicate what he did last year's story. They want to see football being played, and the good news is for Buck fans, it's less than a month away. I can't do the math because I'm not real smart, but what, 21, 25 days, 24 days, something like that, and you'll be able to see real football on the field. And then, you know, the first preseason game is really pretty quick. You got a weekend for Canton after training camp opens. And then the first preseason game at Jacksonville on August 8th. So it's right around the corner.
Yes, indeed. It is coming much faster than I think people understand. Canton, of course, we'll be out there for that. We got training camp. And I don't know if you remember Alberto last year. One of our friends from Mexico came over. I think he started 3 years ago. He came over one game, then came over for two more games. And I was saying, hey, you should bring your dad over. He's real close to his dad. He brought his dad for a game. And last year he came for training camp. And the guys at One Buck were terrific. All the guys who were not Coach Chiano were terrific. And made an amazing experience. His whole family's coming over. He's going to be here for the entire training camp this year. He let me know that on Facebook tonight. So it's really cool to me how much the fans are starting to get involved in these things in the off season as well as the regular season, which is awesome.
Yeah, and that's something the Buccaneers, and that's something Lovie Smith, there's a lot of things different between him and Greg Schiano. You know, Greg did the PR thing because it was part of it. He didn't like it, per se. I mean, he was 100% focused on football, and so is Lovie and Jason. But at the same time, you know, they understand that they want this to be a team of the community. They want the community to feel involved. And listen, the Glazers want that because they see, as poor as the Rays really are doing, you know, record, you know, not thinking about that, but just in general, their involvement in the community and the different things that they do, you know, for their fans is big. And obviously what the Lightning do with what Vinick's done, you know, forking out money out of his own pocket to redo a lot at the Forum and getting involved with a lot of different charity things. You know, the Buccaneers understand that, you know, it's not like it was in 1985 when they were the only game in town. I mean,
Right. Well,
I guess the Bandits were in town and the Rowdies were falling off. But you know, there's competition for the sports dollar, and that's an important aspect, I think, that the Glazers understand, too. And really one of the big reasons why these changes were made, because before, you know, that last the end of last season, I mean, there was that black cloud hanging over this franchise. And, you know, you hate to be cliche and use the old Sam Weiss slogan, a new day in Tampa Bay, but really that's what it is. You know, I think it's, you know, I think the Glazers understand that. And I think that the Buccaneer organization, you know, wants, and Lovie Smith in particular, wants the fans to be involved. He's really going to be stumping to have fans come out. He wants as many open dates as possible, whereas I'm sure Greg Schiano was kind of arguing, hey, you know, do we really got to have a crowd out here today? So, you know, I think Lovie is, you know, obviously being you know, having a history here in Tampa Bay means a lot to him. And but, you know, he's done this before. This isn't his first rodeo. He
right.
understands how important it is to get fans involved, and that's something the organization, I think, has done a very good job of and will continue to do even a better job of.
Well, hopefully that will be true, and I know that your group and our group will certainly like that, and our combined group hopefully will like it as well. Mark, I want to thank you for joining the show again. Like I said, we'll get the calendar over. We'll start planning these things. You guys sending anyone to Canton this year?
Our photographer, director of photography, Cliff
Wells,
will be there.
Okay.
I'm not completely sure as far as our travel plans go. A lot of that kind of depends on what our sons are doing in football also. You know, last year it's pretty bad of me, but I declined to go because my son had a game that Saturday and so on and so forth. But we'll see. He is playing football again this year, but we're hoping to send somebody up there definitely for sure. But we'll definitely have a great photo expose, if nothing else, from our director of photography, Cliff Welch. He does a great job.
Cliff does an amazing job. And if worst comes to worst, you know, we'll have a group up there too. So if we can provide you anything, we'll do what we can do. We'll be
there
up there.
There you go, our traveling correspondent.
Well, you never know. We're up there for the Pro Football Ultimate Fans Association. Cheryl and I are both in there, and we've got, you know, every year we get together and do our thing for the induction for the Fans Hall of Fame.
I'll tell you right now, I won't pay you, but I will gladly accept from a Derek or Cheryl perspective of being in Canton, and we'll run that feature the Sunday after. If you guys would like to write something up, one of your crew, we'll definitely run something from y'all's perspective of being there.
I think it might be neat. I was very impressed last year, and you know, obviously Big Nasty will be there too. He's in the same Hall of Fame with us. He was the first Buccaneer to go in there during the visa regime, but the thing that was impressive to me last year, and I didn't expect it. Was when Warren came up, the chants of Warren, and it wasn't just us. A bunch of us were down on the floor. The fans in the stands, it was noticeable.
Wow.
And it floored me, right? Because I just did not expect it. I know he's a popular player. I know people know Warren Sapp. But I, as a Bucks fan, you just never expect as a Bucks fan anyone to give a shit about you ever.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I cannot imagine. I saw that they're putting the actual posters up. They have these gigantic posters like the Bucks have on Raymond James of the inductees. And Derrick Brooks is the first one. Is on the far left of the stadium there at the hall. And I got chills and I thought, shit, if they were this excited about Warren, right?
Yeah.
What the hell kind of fan base is going to be there for Derrick? So definitely we'll put something together for you, Mark, and get it back. And it'll be good to see Cliff up there. So
Yeah. And hopefully myself or Scott or somebody will be able to make it up there too. Maybe you could lead the singing of the Derrick Brooks song from the United Way commercial. Maybe that instead of the Warren chant, you could do that.
That would be a lot of fun. I think that we could probably get enough people to do it too, which would be a lot of fun. All right, Mark.
Awesome,
well,
but,
thanks for coming on.
One other thing I want to mention real fast.
Oh, okay.
We got a second.
I do.
You know, our new website, you know, we're scheduled to unveil that, you know, right before the season kicks off. We're really excited about that. Got a brand new logo. You know, we're going to get some new merchandise made up with a new logo. Hence the reason why everybody's getting a T-shirt at the
you're dumping them all.
Yeah, and hence the reason I'm offering five more. As I do normally every time I'm on the show, if they email me, Mark at Pewter Report, I've got five or so. Maybe if it's a few more, that's fine too. But email me, Mark at PewterReport.com. And if you're stateside, we'll gladly mail you a Pewter Report T-shirt.
All right, there you have it, guys. If you want to get your Pewter Report T-shirt, Mark at PewterReport.com. I actually went and renewed my Insider account today. Make sure you guys have done that as well. And until we speak again, which will probably be relatively soon, until the Keelan Curley event, which is even you know sooner than I thought, we will see you directly.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Sorry, I said funner twice.
Funnest.
I should have said it three times.
Three times the charm.
Yeah. All right, guys.
See you, man. Bye. All right, Mark Cook from PewterReport.com calling in, which is great. No, Kurt, he's not going to send those shirts overseas. I do agree with Shadowhawk that this trip to Canton will be funner than last year's as well. Derek, while I have you here, what hotel did you stay at in New Orleans last year? I actually stayed at the Marriott on Canal. It was like one block down from Bourbon, which was great. I didn't stay there the whole time because I had a friend that I stayed with that was over by Commander's Palace, but I would stay there in an instant. It was a great hotel, and the price was ridiculously good. And I noticed some concern about getting tickets to the Hall of Fame event. We definitely need to get those locked in if we don't have them done yet. If you're going to Hall of Fame and you want to meet up with us, let us know. We will make sure that we do that and get a chance to see you guys. I know Kurt and a couple of other folks are going to come up there, which is awesome. And I think there's actually a group that's driving up Big Nasty and a couple of other guys are driving up, which will be very cool if you guys want to do that. I'm not driving that fucking bar. I'm flying. So, at any rate, reminders about the important things. Thanks to Winghouse for coming back on. We've got some updates to the website coming directly. Adam Ratliff, if you want a shirt, Mark at PeterReport.com. Mail him. You are stateside, I believe. You will get a shirt, which is great. Big thanks to everyone for all the things that you do. Continue to do those things that you do, and we will start getting more information out about these events as they are coming up directly, and should be a lot of fun. So, reminders, sign up for the mailing list, spread our shit on social media, participate. Big shout-out is Bucks Brief still in chat room. Big shout-out to Fish and the group over there at Bucks Brief, doing a great job. Thank you for the kind words you made on Twitter. We don't mind promoting folks that do good work, so no big deal. Just keep doing good work. And next time I come over to Lakeland, we'll meet Jamie and we'll have more beers. So for the whole crew here, I am Old School, and I'm going to show you Jackie again because we're back with Winghouse, and Jackie makes the whole world better, and we'll play our new bumper again. And I'll put a link to the new bumper up on the site. You guys seem to like that as well. So this is Jackie, who we will hopefully see a lot next season. And I'm an idiot because I don't have the damn bumper music ready to go. I'm the worst host of a show ever in the history of podcastdom because I closed fucking Media Player.
So I give zero fucks.